to thank our brother for his sincere prayer. We thank you for praying also for the service tonight. We want God's name to be exalted and praised, and we want to draw closer to him. I have been led to speak on the subject of lessons from the Apostle Paul's life. Paul was a man of grit and of grace. Grit simply means firmness of mind and spirit, unyielding courage in the face of hardship or danger. But his message and style were shown by grace. In Ephesians chapter 3, he says, "Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ." And in 1 Timothy 1:15, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all expectations, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. And I think we all fit into that category. Paul never got over his gratitude for God's saving grace. It drove him to his knees, it softened his heart, and it transformed this wicked man into a powerful spokesman for his Savior. Besides Christ himself, who has had more profound influence in this world than the Apostle Paul? Paul's background. From history, they tell us he was a small man. He was bald-headed, bow-legged, rugged, but he had great durability. His father was a Jew who worked for the Roman government, which gave Paul the right of free Roman citizenship under Roman law, descendant to his son. Paul was born in Tarsus, which was a leading educational center, where he received training that was seen in his ability to deliver God's message to needy people. His teacher, Gamaliel, was well known as a strict Pharisee. Although his family was probably well-to-do, yet Paul learned a trade, a normal procedure for any young man who was studying law. Remember, after he became an apostle, he used his trade making tents to support himself and his mission work. The first mention of Paul, or Saul, was not a little baby in the arms of a loving mother, but a brutal and bloody man. About the time of Jesus' death, Paul was full of zeal for the Jewish faith. He hated this new religious movement which had sprung up around Jesus and his teaching. Perhaps he had heard statements that Jesus said about the Pharisees that irked him. He was one of the main leaders in the early persecution of Christians by the Jews. He was there at the stoning of Jesus, of Stephen. Stephen's blood may be had on his clothing. He definitely was not in agreement to this. Remember, God has a use for this persecutor, just as he has a use for each one of us. He was to be a chosen vessel by which the gospel would be carried to the Gentiles. Let's look at lesson one this evening. We want to look at 12 different lessons that we get from his life. Lesson one is found in Acts 9:1-6. "And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest, and desired of him letters to Damascus to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound into Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth, and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling in the stonies, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise, and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do." Saul was a very zealous person. But you know, zeal without knowledge and the Holy Spirit can cause a lot of problems. How about us tonight? Do we have zeal as Saul did? Is our zeal for the truth of God's word directed by the Holy Spirit? Too many times our will, as Saul's, get in the road, and it's not the Lord's will. Lesson 2, humility. In Acts chapter 9 and verse 6, "And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what will I have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise, and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. In verse 9, "And he was 3 days without sight, and neither did eat nor drink." Saul was used to being in charge, but that was over. He was not only pinned to the ground, but he was blinded. God had dealt with him. Well, in this section of the scripture, I like to point out something about Ananias. In verses 9, Acts 9, 10 to 16, he was told in a vision that this man, Saul, was going to come to his place, and he was supposed to meet with him and lay hands upon him. And you know, in that portion of scripture, Ananias, he didn't want to do this. And I can understand why. He heard about Saul, who was killing the Christians. He was a very ungodly man. He didn't spare anyone. But God told him what to do. And Ananias had faith. And because he was faithful, can we imagine how many lives were touched by Paul? By God through Paul. A very great example of faith. How is your faith tonight? How is my faith? Does it look hopeless? I'm sure he was fearful, but he obeyed God. Lesson number 3. In Galatians chapter 1, verses 17 and 18, we see here the need for preparation. The Apostle Paul, after he was converted, said, "Neither went I up to Jerusalem to them who were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia and returned again unto Damascus. Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him 15 days. Here was a time of heart searching, a time of commitment, a time to prepare his mind for the great task that was for him. In the Philippians 3:7, he said, "For what things were gained to me, those that count loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ." I think it's a lesson here for us that we need to slow down. What's really important in our life? What are we putting first? Is it material things? Self-honor? Or we allow the Holy Spirit to control our lives. We live in a time when the devil is using everything possible to distract us from serving God. Lesson number 4, forgiveness. Apostle Paul repented. He was cleansed of his sins, but he had some scars in his life. He had some baggage. And haven't we all had some baggage we had to deal with? In Acts chapter 9 and verse 26, "And when Saul was come to Jerusalem, he assailed to join himself to the disciples, but they were afraid of him and believed not that he was a disciple." Can we see here some baggage he had to deal with because of his past? And then in verse 27, there was a dear brother who helped him out. It says, "Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way, and he had spoken to him, and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus." Barnabas was ready to help Brother Paul, who needs my help or your help in their walk with the Lord. Lesson 5. God always fulfills his promises, but it may be some waiting period. In Acts chapter 9 and verse 21, and all that heard him were amazed and said, is not this he that destroyed them which called on this name in Jerusalem and came hither for that intent, that he might bring bound unto the chief priest? But Saul increased more and more in strength and confounded the Jews which dwelled at Damascus, proving that this is very Christ. Go back to verse 15. The Lord had said, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. The lesson here is, what has he called you to do? What has he called me to do? Are we fulfilling that? Psalm 27 and verse 14 says, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen our heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Do we wait on the Lord as we should to prepare us for service? Lesson 6. God's purpose for the thorn. There needed to be a revelation of the grace to strengthen us in weakness. In 2 Corinthians 12, 1-9, it is not expedient for me, doubtless to glory, I will come to visions, revelations of the Lord. This is the Apostle Paul speaking of his experience with God. I knew a man in Christ about 14 years ago, whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell. God knoweth, such a one called up to the third heaven. And I knew a man, whether in the body or out of the body I cannot tell, but God knoweth, how that he was called up into paradise, and heard unspeakable words which it is unlawful for a man to utter. Of such a one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth, for now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that heareth of me. Can you see his humbleness, his brokenness, that we all need? Unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of a revelation, there is given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I sought the Lord thrice, and it was that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect. How? In being proud? No, but in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Loved ones, that's what we need in our hearts and our lives, the power of God through humility. God gave Paul an answer he didn't expect. Not success, but stress and strain that drove him to his knees. Then God takes him by the hand, and by grace, he lifts him up. Paul's complete change of attitude from what he was when he was Saul. In Philippians chapter 4 and verse 11, not that I speak in respect of want, Apostle Paul speaking again, for I have learned in whatever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, I know how to be abound. Everywhere in all things I'm instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Paul had to get to the place where he realized how helpless he was. And then he realized that God could give him an ability that he needed even at that moment. Maybe some of us tonight are going through hard times, and we need that trust, that faith in God. He is able. The last chapter hasn't been written, so let's be faithful. He also said in 2 Corinthians 12, 9, he said unto thee, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. not in pride, but in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of God may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Apostle Paul then asked a question, God, you're unfair. No, no. His attitude was, he needs to increase. I need to decrease. His grace is sufficient. I believe the desperate need today is not for more intelligent people or gifted people, but we need more deep people who spend time with the Lord and love the Lord and serve him faithfully through all circumstances. Spiritual death is cultivated by spending time in quietness, away from the pressing crowd, the overwhelming waves of today's world. Most of us are just too busy for God to work in our lives as he would desire to do. The Lord always uses periods of solitude, quietness, out of the limelight to prepare servants for his work. Look at Moses. Moses had to run for his life, and God dealt with him on the backside of the mountain where there was quietness. David, he had to run from Saul. That spared his life. Joseph was sold as a slave. He was put in prison. He suffered greatly, and then God could use him. Elijah, remember the great victory that was won through God, but then one woman threatened him, and he ran for his life. He was to the point almost of death. He had to depend on God, a quietness with God. John the Baptist was in the desert, in the wilderness, to prepare him for his message he had to deliver. We need to remember that conversion of a soul is a miracle of a moment, but the growth of a saint takes a lifetime. The growth of a saint takes a lifetime. Instead of speeding up, most of us need to slow down and be open to God's leading. And the only way that can happen, it takes special time alone with God. How many of us are faithful in that every day, alone with God? Instead of always talking, we need to learn to be quiet and reflect. Words everywhere. 1 Thessalonians 4:11 says, study to be quiet. James 1:19, let every man be swift to hear and slow to speak. We live in a time when many people feel, or at least it seems to, they feel, they're known for the much speaking. Maybe better if more of us would be more quiet and listening and learning. Thirdly, be careful of seeking a place of power and prestige in this world's rat race. We need to do the best we can where God has called us, has placed us. But we need to be sure our mind is on God's priorities, things that really matter in life. Do you have a thorn? Have you asked God for the reason? Paul had a thorn. God gave him a very clear reason. He knew from what he experienced in the presence of God, in the vision he had, that he could be a proud man. He could boast of what he had known and who he was with, like a lot of people do today. So he had a thorn to keep him humble. Lesson seven. We need to learn to deal successfully with criticism. Someone has said, where there's light, there are bugs. Where you share the message of salvation, there would be those who would try to squash it. Abraham Lincoln responded to criticism, and I quote, if I were to read, much less answer, all the attacks made on me, This shop might as well be closed for any other business. I do the very best I know how, the very best I can, and I mean to keep going, doing so until the end. If the end brings me out right, what is said against me won't amount to anything. If the end brings me out wrong, 10,000 angels swearing I was right would make no difference. End of quote. Loved ones, as Christians, and especially being involved in any type of leadership, whether it's preaching, teaching, deacons, Sunday school teachers, there's going to be criticism. And that's a hard thing to do, to take, when you have done your best according to your ability and knowledge. It seems like Christians, especially church leaders, are like lightning rods, and the charges are sent against them. In 1 Corinthians 16:9, the Apostle Paul says, "For a great door and effectual is open unto me, and there are many adversaries." There are many who the devil has working against Christians to discourage them. David Roper, in his book, A Burden Shared, four different truths. Criticism always comes when we least need it, when we are down. Secondly, it seems to come when we least deserve it. We have made an honest mistake. We did our best, but we were misunderstood. Thirdly, it comes from people who are least qualified to give it, one who does not really know. You are all the facts. Proverbs 27:6, faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. And fourthly, it usually comes in a way that is least helpful to us, not in love, but in bitterness. I'd like to show us how the Apostle Paul responded to criticism. In Acts chapter 24, in verses 5 and 6. "For we have found this man a pestrous fellow and a mover of sedition among all the Jews throughout the world, and a ringleader of the sect of the Nazarenes, who also has gone about to profane the temple, whom we took and would have judged according to our law." How did Paul answer that? He cheerfully answered that. "Then Paul, after the governor had beckoned unto him to speak, answered, For as much as I know that thou hast been a many years a judge among this nation, I do more cheerfully answer for myself." He was accused hatefully, but he responded joyfully. The second thing he said was, "Check my record." In Acts 24:11-12, "Because thou mayest understand that there are yet but 12 days since I went up to Jerusalem to worship, and they neither found me in the temple disputing with any man, neither raising up the people, neither in the synagogue, nor in the city." He's telling them, check his record. It was a good record. And thirdly, he spoke with a clear conscience. We need to make sure the facts are correct. In Acts 24:16, "And herein do I exercise myself to have always a conscience void of offense toward God and toward men." He would not surrender and quit, but he kept plagging on. He did not become bitter. For 2 years he gave the truth to Felix, but he rejected the truth. Lesson 8. Sometimes separation is needful. In Acts chapter 15 and verse 35, we have an account here of Paul and Barnabas. They're going to go to visit the churches that had been started. And remember the first missionary journey, John Mark was with them. Because of the pressure and the stress, he flaked out. He went back home. So here they are, they want to go to visit these churches, and Barnabas wanted to take Mark along again, and Paul said he didn't. Take notice here in verse 37. In verse 36, and some days after Paul said unto Barnabas, let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they do. And Barnabas determined to take with him John, whose subname was Mark. But Paul thought not good to take him with them, who departed from Pamphylia and went not with them to the work. And the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder one from the other. So Barnabas took Mark and sailed unto Cyprus. Sometimes separation is needful. Can you believe this? Paul and Barnabas were strong Christians. Barnabas had helped Paul to be accepted by the early church. But Paul didn't think it was wise to take Mark along because he flaked out before. But you can see here that God sometimes multiplies by dividing. Barnabas and Mark went one way, and Paul and Silas another. And sometimes that's necessary to spread the message of salvation more fully. In dealing with problems among us, first of all, we need to try to see the other person's point of view. Philippians 2:9, that not every man in his own things, but every man also in the things of others. Secondly, seek a wise compromise. If it does not disobey Scripture, we have to be careful that we're upholding Scripture. Thirdly, if need be, disagree without being bitter. And that can only be done by the grace of God. And I think when we come into situations like that where there's misunderstanding between brethren or sisters, we need to go to the cross and we need to remember the forgiveness that was given to us. And we need to put that in practice in our life. Lesson number 9, contentment. For I have learned, Philippians 4:11, not that I speak in respect to want, but I have learned in whatever state I am, therewith to be content. I think Paul was a very good example of this. He was in prison. He wrote the book of Philippians. Gospel is promoted, progress of the gospel while in prison. But I would have you understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather until the furtherance of the gospel. Paul was not sitting in the prison and saying, please get me out of here. I can't hardly stand it. But he used that place to bring honor and glory to his God. He was chained to a guard, and I'm sure he witnessed to that guard day after day, night after night. He encouraged others in Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. He was the example of thanksgiving in Colossians 4:2. Continue in prayer and watching the same with thanksgiving. Whether praying also for us that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ for which I am in bonds, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Remember, he had learned to be content. How content are you today? How content am I with my life's circumstances? Lesson number 10. Put your trust in the Lord. In 2 Corinthians 1:9, but we had a sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raises the dead, who delivered us from so great a death and does deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. When we accepted Christ as our personal Savior, he delivered us from sin. We become child of God. He's delivering us day by day if we're led by the Spirit. And he will deliver us. Maybe our life will be snatched out, but eternity will be with him if we're faithful. 2 Corinthians 4, the Apostle Paul says, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We're perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of our Lord Jesus Christ, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. Is that happening to us? Are we manifesting Christ through our lives? For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. Paul never blamed God for his afflictions. He'd accounted them as a part of his life in service to his Savior. Psalm 46:1, God is our refuge and strength, a very pleasant help in trouble. In a tight place, don't fear. We're right where he wants us. We don't understand that sometimes. We will arrive where he wants us to go in his timing when he desires. Lesson 11, suffering may be in God's plan. We hear a lot of sermons on radio and so forth today. God wants everyone rich and well and free of pain. Apostle Paul spoke differently than that in 2 Corinthians 1:8. He spared of life, for we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch it would despair even of life. 2 Corinthians 1:9, do not trust in self, but God. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, which raises the dead. And in Acts 9:25, then the disciples took him by night and led him down by the wall in a basket. Can you see the difference in Paul's life from when he was Saul? Imagine this great Saul, this man of Tarsus, now saying, I will get in that bucket to be left down by the wall. God humbled him greatly. Augustine called Paul's conversion the valiant man with a rebel will. He changed the nature of a wild wolf into the spirit of a lamb. If God could change Saul into Paul, there's no person that he cannot change today. It doesn't matter how wicked they are. And Brother Paul mentioned this morning in the sermon that we see the wickedness of some people. It's hard for us to have a concern as we should for them. It can only be done through God's grace. Lesson number 12, be faithful. Apostle Paul wrote in 2 Timothy 4, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. And loved ones, I'll say this especially to we as ministers. When we do that, there's some who are going to hate us, because they do not want to hear the truth. You go through the Old Testament, the prophets of old, most of them were despised when they told the truth. And if we're liked by everybody, beware. Beware. We're not standing faithfully as God would have us to. A young woman who was a great lover of flowers had set a rare vine at the base of a stone wall in her backyard. It grew very healthy, but it never bloomed. Day after day, she cultivated and watered it and tried in every way to coax it to bloom. And one morning, as she stood disappointed before it, her invalid neighbor, whose backyard adjoined her own, called over and said, you cannot imagine how much I have been enjoying the blooms of that vine you planted. The owner looked, and on the other side of the wall was a mass of bloom. The vine had crept through the crevices and flowered bountifully on the other side. I think that's a lesson for every Christian here tonight. So often we think of our efforts as being thrown away, because we do not always see the fruit. We're misunderstood. We're criticized. But we need to learn that in God's service, our prayers, our toil, our crosses are never in vain. Somewhere they bear their fruit, and some heart will receive their blessing and their joy. Let's be faithful. God bless you.